Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When reading the gospel today and seeing that trust that our Lord asks of us, of Him, it reminded me of a really wonderful story about a woman that I once knew several years ago. She was, long before I had met her, she had started becoming ill and had gone to the hospital. And the doctor there had done a bunch of tests on her and everything and had diagnosed her with congestive heart failure. And with that, prescribed her, you know, several prescription medications, told her to take them and sent her on her way. And so she did. She was very faithful to taking those medications. What she was more faithful to all her life was devotion to the church. She was always a staunch supporter and defender of the true Mass, the Holy Catholic Church. She followed it no matter where it was, if that meant when she was earlier on after the changes came, moving from San Diego all the way up to Spokane, Washington, where she could attend the Mass, then she did that. If it meant going through many sacrifices to make sure that her kids were all raised with the proper faith, she did that. If it meant that when she was able to, moving closer to the church, she did. Her and her husband, in fact, moved to the house right next door to the church itself, so all they had to do was walk across the alleyway, and that way, very easily, no matter what the weather was, be able to attend daily Mass, to be able to go and make frequent visits to the Blessed Sacrament. And her rosary and her scapular were always faithfully with her. She was completely devoted to all of these things. And one day, you know, I had gotten to know her a little while, and all of a sudden she started to really decline in health. It had been several years since she was diagnosed. And so as she declined, she eventually ended up going back to the hospital. And when she got there, they ran more tests upon her, and they came back with terrible, terrible news. That they had done the tests, and that they found that she never had congestive heart failure all these years. There was a mistake that was made. And the bad part of it was, is that those medications that she had been taking all that time had completely destroyed her liver, and soon she would die. There's nothing that they could do about it. But all the while, through all of this, never once did she get angry or upset with the doctors. Never once did she blame them for what happened to her. In fact, when the word came down to her, she was totally resigned to that fact and had no ill will at all. She said that, you know, I'm sure that the doctors tried their best. I don't think that they would mean to cause me this harm. They're human beings. They simply make mistakes sometimes. And it's God's will that I'm sick and going to die now. And that's fine. I'm fine with that. And with that, because of her devotion to the church and her devotion and trusting in God, she died one of the most edifying deaths that I've ever seen. She was strengthened by all of the last rites of the church. Her family was all around her praying the rosary as she passed away. She died on the first day of the month of May, which we all know is devoted to Our Lady, who she herself had given herself over in total consecration many years before. And she died on what was the first Saturday of that month. It was a beautiful, beautiful death. And it all can be attested to her total trust and devotion to God, especially through Our Lady. It embodies that very confidence in which we all have to have in God. No matter what, He is always totally in control of everything that goes on around us. Nothing that happens ever sneaks by him. There's nothing that happens that he does not allow to happen. And it's always with that same outlook in mind. His main goal, his sole focus, is on us saving our souls, doing whatever is best for us in the spiritual life. That's what is most important to God. Eternity. Our eternal salvation. But the world, on the other hand, looks at the evils of these trials that we go through. They see things all around us and they look at them as the worst things that could possibly come our way. Hardships and diseases, poverty, hunger, cancer, global warming, whatever the new trend of great evils that is before us in the media today, is looked at as we have to end it no matter what. Any kind of uncomfortableness, any kind of suffering is automatically bad. But that couldn't be further from the truth. What everybody fails to see is that the only true great evil in the world is, in fact, sin and spiritual death. That's the only thing that God cares about as a true evil. And even if it means that we have to go through hardships and trials, if it strengthens us in our spirit, if it strengthens us against sin, if it grows us closer to God and to trust in Him and rely on Him more, then God's willing to let us go through those things if it's for the good of our soul. Our good for our soul is not always what we have in mind as good. Oftentimes, people will pray for a certain intention, and then when it's not given to them in the way that they envisioned, they say things like, God didn't hear their prayer. God has abandoned them. He's forsaken them. And, you know, they go on and on about how much they're in such dire straits in that regard, that they've been left all alone. But God, of course, would never, ever do so. He's promised us He wouldn't. He told us He'd be with us all days. He's not a liar. He, if anybody, is always going to be true to their word. If there's a defect in our prayer, it's not His. It's our own. Perhaps it's simply with our intention itself. Either it's bad, or it's not what's for the good of our soul. Or maybe we haven't persevered long enough, or tried hard enough, in our prayers. Or, very well, as is often the case, we don't trust Him enough. We pray, but with that mindset of, well, I don't know if He's going to do this. I don't know if He can do this for me. Well, that's not a very good spirit to have in our prayer. You know, it's the more we put into trusting Him, the more He's going to want to give back to us in return, because that trust shows our love and devotion to Him. That trust is what the apostles in the gospel today suffered a little bit from. They didn't have that full understanding yet of who our Lord was. They didn't have those gifts of the Holy Ghost yet, and they were, you know, indeed weak men at that time. And so when the storm was raging and our Lord was sleeping, they didn't trust Him enough. They didn't have confidence in Him, and so they woke Him up and asked Him to do something about it. And He did. But St. Therese shows us a different way that to approach that. She oftentimes, as all of us will, and especially all of the saints did, would have periods of time where we would call it like a dark period of spiritual comforts. They were devoid from her at times, and she would never ever despair in this regard. She would never, you know, think that God abandoned her. No, she had more of a trusting look upon it and a true love of those times. She would say that our Lord was sleeping, just like he was on that boat. He was sleeping, worn out perhaps by all the intentions and prayers of so many people, and that she loved him so much that she was going to let him sleep. She figured that because our Lord was sleeping, it meant that he was comfortable with her. It meant that he, in return, loved her. And she likened it to that of being very close friends. Think about it. If we were to host, like, say, a dinner party at our house, and we were to have people come in as guests that were more, not necessarily strangers, but people that we didn't have a really close relationship with, what are we going to do? We're going to do everything we can to try to entertain them and try to keep them occupied and allow them to have a good time by keeping them busy. But if a really close friend, our best friend, comes and visits us and eats with us and then decides he's going to sit down on our couch and perhaps close his eyes and take a little nap, we're in no way offended by that. In fact, we're happy that they're so comfortable in our own home that they could fall asleep. St. Therese said that's the way she felt with our Lord. He was so comfortable with her that he could fall asleep. And with that, she let him sleep. She figured so few would. She knew in time he would awaken and he would be there for her always. And she knew as well that by being abandoned completely to his holy will, that he would never let anything go astray, never let anything bad happen to her, even though it seemed at times that there was no answer coming from prayers that she might offer. She knew he was always in control. He was like a good father who was there sleeping, yes, but at the first sound, the first sign of danger, would awaken and protect his family. Our Lord was like that even when he was sleeping with St. Therese. No matter what, if something was a danger to her soul, he would give her the graces. He would rise himself up and protect her and help her. But this required her trust, that she wouldn't go wake him every 2 minutes, asking him for more and more. Instead, she had to rely on his promise to her. And in fact, she trusted so much that it didn't matter what kind of hardships would come her way, it never swayed her either way. She oftentimes quoted Job and said that no matter, even if he were to slay her, she would still trust him because it was ultimately what was good for her soul. And this is where we all have to be. God wants us in heaven. He's going to do everything he can to help us get there. He wants us to save our souls. And he is the only guide that we can follow to heaven. The road that we may go down sometimes may seem to have many bumps along the way, many hardships or trials that may come to us, but that's okay. If we let God lead us, he's the only one that knows that road. He's the only one that knows how to actually get to its end, and that end which is salvation in heaven itself. There are going to be times where he is quiet. There are going to be times where those bumps in the road are going to be hard on us. And sometimes, like St. Therese says, it's going to appear that he sleeps. But one thing he will never do, he'll never abandon us. And it's in that that we always have to have confidence. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.